This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, November 10th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, legal issues in the news and the process of security clearance for new White House employees as the administration changes. We'll also get a forecast from meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, today's news. Tough economic times have college administrators worried, and as Jenna Dooley reports, the University of Illinois president is urging caution when it comes to spending from now on.
U of I student trustees have suggested a salary freeze for employees who make more than $150,000. University of Illinois President Joseph White says if money gets tight, especially over the next year and a half, all options will have to be considered.
I think that if we run into hard financial times at the university, and I think we probably will, there's going to be sacrifice required of everybody. And that will include high-paid people.
One thing that will not get cut, White says, is the commitment to research, which brings in $700 million per year through grants and contracts with the private sector. The U of I system has a $4 billion budget this year. White will give more details about his contingency plan at the monthly Board of Trustees meeting this week in Springfield. I'm Jenna Dooley.
The convicted felon questioned in the killings of the mother, brother, and nephew of singer Jennifer Hudson in Chicago could be released if the Illinois Prisoner Review Board decides against revoking his parole. The board meets today at the Stateville Correctional Center to consider the case of 27-year-old William Balfour. No one has been charged in the shootings, but authorities have called Balfour a person of interest. He's in custody on a parole violation from a 1999 attempted murder conviction. Balfour is the estranged husband of Julia Hudson, the sister of the singer and actress. Illinois Prisoner Review Board Chairman Jorge Montes says if the board finds no cause to continue holding Balfour, he could be released. Power generator NRG Energy has rejected Exelon's unsolicited $6.2 billion all-stock buyout bid. It's too low. The New Jersey-based NRG said yesterday it's also rejected the proposal because the Chicago-based nuclear power giant and utility operator Exelon has yet to line up the financing for the deal, which would create the nation's largest power company. Exelon made the offer last month. It has said the combined Exelon and NRG would be big enough to power nearly 45 million homes with 47,000 megawatts. Exelon owns or has a stake in all six of Illinois' nuclear facilities. The transition team for President-elect Barack Obama will announce many high-profile federal appointments in the months to come. But applicants don't necessarily need to hand-deliver a resume to Obama's Chicago office. Sam Hudzik reports.
On the website of the Office of the President-elect, there's a simple job application form. It's probably a bit hard to believe Obama will discover his next, say, Secretary of Defense, because that person applied online. But there are thousands of other positions Obama's team needs to fill, and no doubt many interested veterans of his Chicago-based campaign. Nancy Randa is with the Federal Office of Personnel Management.
They can range from assistants all the way up to experts in public affairs or congressional relations. Even in smaller agencies, it might be a chief of staff.
These are all political appointments. They lack the job security of permanent gigs in the civil service. As Randa says, these employees will serve at the pleasure of the president. I'm Sam Hudzik.
If you think politicians who keep their campaign promises are few and far between, a University of Illinois professor wants to challenge that notion. In fact, political scientist Tracy Sulkin's study suggests that the actions of senators and congressmen parallel what they promise in their campaign ads. Sulkin looked at the content of their commercials and the bills that they introduced or co-sponsored once they were elected, but she says their ads rarely mention specifics about what they promise to do. Sulkin also says negative campaigning fuels the perception that politicians never keep their promises.
Lack of keeping promises is one thing that candidates accuse each other of. So if we don't pay attention to what they're actually doing and just pay attention to what goes on in the campaign, we might be led to that. Research also shows that the belief that your representative has or has not kept his or her promises is often linked to your overall views of politics.
Sulkin says lawmakers should not be judged on the measures that get through the entire process and become law. She says it's very hard for individual members to maintain control over their proposals from start to finish. Visitors to the Indianapolis International Airport's new billion-dollar terminal will find plenty of Hoosier touches when it opens for business tomorrow. Local restaurants such as Harry and Izzy's and the Indianapolis 500 Grill will sit alongside national chains. Carpeting in the concourses features leaves of trees native to Indiana, and much of the public artwork was created by Indiana artists. An airport spokesman, David Dawson, says the airport's trying to create a place that'll give visitors a sense of Indianapolis. Officials plan an opening ceremony tomorrow that'll include a 1,000-foot ribbon, dozens of speakers, bagpipes, and a flyover by the Indiana National Guard's 122nd Fighter Wing. The first commercial flight is scheduled to arrive tomorrow night, and the first departures from the new Indianapolis terminal will leave Wednesday morning. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. A new administration means new White House employees and with them FBI background checks for security clearances. Commentator Amy Guida explains how deep investigators will go in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
My husband worked for a time in Laurel, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C., fairly close to the National Security Agency. NSA describes itself as the group that coordinates, directs, and performs highly specialized activities to protect U.S. government information systems and to produce foreign signals intelligence information. It would be inadvisable to ask follow-up questions. Being so close to NSA, my husband received a phone call one evening regarding the upstairs neighbor. Did he know the guy? Had he heard or seen anything unusual coming from that apartment? Was there any reason that the neighbor shouldn't be given access to top national security information? My husband didn't know any dirt, so the proxy for NSA went on his merry investigative way. I was reminded of that story when I read that the FBI has been looking into President-elect Obama's staffers and whether they can be trusted with state secrets. It's nothing unusual. With White House transitions come FBI background checks. But we're not talking here about a quick call to a reference. According to the FBI website, the General Security Clearance Form asks applicants to go way back, for some from age 18 on, and answer the following questions. Where have you lived? Where did you go to school? What employment have you had? Who knows you best? When have you traveled abroad and why and what did you do there? What is your medical history, your employment record, your police record, your use of illegal drugs and alcohol, your finances, your financial delinquencies, and your civil court actions? As the security level moves up from secret to top secret, the investigation deepens. According to some court cases, ones that generally hold that investigators have the final say on security clearances because courts don't want to second-guess those experts expert enough to, quote, predict the future behavior of the applicant, the investigators don't necessarily trust the applicant's answers. Here's the follow-up that applicants agree to, one court explained, that investigators have permission to obtain any information relating to the applicant's activities from individuals, schools, residential management agents, employers, credit bureaus, consumer reporting agencies, collection agencies, retail business establishments, or other sources of information. The Laurel call to my husband proves how deep they'll dig. He was connected to the applicant only by a shared ceiling/floor. Moreover, statutory language suggests that unfavorable or questionable information about the applicant will require what is intriguingly called select scoping. Once that scoping is complete and the applicant is approved, she or he will be forced to sign a non-disclosure agreement so that state secrets stay secret. Some quasi-government workers have fought back. Take employees at the California Institute of Technology's Jet Propulsion Laboratory who worked with NASA. NASA required that every one of them submit to in-depth background investigations. But the workers argued that they were Caltech employees, not NASA employees, and shouldn't be forced to give investigators free rein to ask other sources of information about their finances, honesty, and the seriously open-ended other matters. Just last June, a federal appellate court in California agreed that such an investigation raised serious privacy issues. But those accustomed to politics on President-elect Obama's White House list are also more likely accustomed to FBI investigations. In fact, if they've lived for a time in the nation's capital, they too may have received a call in the night from a stranger asking about the guy upstairs. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Meteorologist Ed Kieser says a few clouds will move back into the area sometime tomorrow, maybe a little bit of precipitation this week, but in the meantime today, most of the two-state area will be mostly sunny. In west central and southern Illinois, increasing clouds. In northern Illinois and in northern and eastern Indiana, intervals of clouds and sun. Highs today, chilly, from 36 in northwest Illinois to 52 in the far south, 43 with sunshine in Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, in northeast Indiana, mostly clear and cold. In west central and southern Illinois, cloudy with rain arriving. Elsewhere, increasing cloudiness. Lows tonight from 20 in northeast Indiana to 40 in far southern Illinois, down to 29 in Champaign-Urbana. For tomorrow, in northwest Illinois, cloudy with a mix of wet snow, sleet, freezing rain, and rain arriving, changing to all rain. Elsewhere in Illinois and in western and southern Indiana, cloudy with periods of rain. And in northeast Indiana, increasing clouds. Highs from 39 in northwest Indiana to 50 far south. Cloudy with rain and 38 tomorrow in Champaign-Urbana. Rain continues through tomorrow with the tomorrow night's low 38. Wednesday's high 48 degrees. A few lingering showers Wednesday night with a low of 40 and some showers on Thursday, the high 54. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, November 10th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.